What's going on, faithfuls? It's your boy Mike from the Nothing But Niners crew, and we are back with our second week behind enemy lines edition. And today I am joined by none other than Christina, who is the Seahawks fangirl. Now, some of you guys are familiar with the 49ers fangirl, that is Tracy, but today another part of the Fangirl Sports Network is joining us. That is Christina. Christina, thank you for gracing us with your presence. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. And as Mike said, yes, I am part of the Fangirl Sports Network. It's expanded a lot this season, so we have all of the NFC and AFC West teams covered. I'm covering the Seahawks, of course, my favorite team. Go Hawks. I'm sorry. I know this is going to be a tough debate here today because our teams are facing each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be very interesting. I wish I didn't know how you felt about the Seahawks, but it's all good. I respect it. And I wish I could call this a rivalry. I wish I could sit here and say that, oh my goodness, the rivalry is going to be reborn and all that stuff. But let's be honest, it hasn't been much of a rivalry the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, right. I know people want to talk about when Harbaugh first came, but we haven't beat Seattle in Seattle since 2011. So I can't even say it's going to be much of a rivalry. But before we jump into any of the details, I want you to tell people where to find you. Throw out your social media handles and throw out the website. Make sure you let people know about FangirlSportsNetwork.com and things like that.
Yes, thank you. So you can find all of us at FangirlSportsNetwork.com. Every week we do a Talking Touchdowns, which is a game preview. And then we have other little fun videos and segments as well. So this week, I know it doesn't really apply to you, Mike, but I talked about how to look good at a game, more so for the females. The guys just throw on the jersey and the hat and you're good to go. And we do like 5 fun facts. Last week I did 5 fun facts about our boy Sheldon Richardson. Okay. Really adding a lot to that defensive front. I'm happy and very excited to see how the rest of the season goes with him. But yeah, and then you can follow me on Instagram or Twitter at SeahawksFGSN, and I will be keeping you up to date. I know most of the people here are probably 49ers fans, but if you're ever interested in Seahawks stuff, go ahead and follow me, and I'll give you all of the up-to-date info.
Absolutely, man. You guys, make sure you check them out. They're all doing a wonderful job over at the Fangirl Sports Network, and that's what FGSN stands for, in case you guys did not catch that. But yeah, we're going to go ahead and get into it. But before we do, let me go ahead and give my formal introductions to get that out the way. Again, this is Mike from Nothing But Niners. You guys know where to find this. The website is nothingbutniners.com. You can check that out. Check us out on Twitter as well as on Snapchat. That is Nothing But 9ERS. Okay. And then if you guys want, there's a Facebook page, nothingbutniners.com, or Nothing But Niners. You guys can go there, hit the like button, tell someone else to check us out. For the podcast, we're on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRate, everything that has a podcast, we are there. You guys can find it. And make sure you guys keep an eye out for the works from Tracy as well as the rest of the Fangirl Sports Network. They are doing some amazing things over there. So let's go ahead and get into this. Let's get down and dirty. I mean, it is time to reflect. So before we talk about the upcoming game, I'm going to toss it to you first, actually. I want you to tell us how the game went, because most of 49ers fans only know the outcome. We were happy. We celebrated that the Packers took down the mighty Seahawks, and we were happy about that, but we don't know how the game looked. I saw the box score. I saw 3-3-3, so that means no touchdowns for either one of our teams this week. What's the deal in Seattle? I mean, you guys always start with the offense a little slow. What's going on?
Right. I think that the Seahawks weren't really anticipating the Packers to come out kind of guns blazing as they did. Their defense played amazing. I won't take anything away from the Packers. They had an outstanding performance defensively, obviously, because we only kicked field goals. And I felt like, honestly, watching the entire game, it felt like their defense knew exactly what we were doing every time we tried to run the ball. So it was kind of like, okay, maybe we need to step away. I talked about this in my Talking Touchdowns article. Maybe we need to kind of back away from the power rushers and kind of steer more towards an up-tempo rushing attack. Obviously, Eddie Lacy's kind of the power rusher. Thomas Rawls, he's injured now, but he's more of a power rusher. And CJ Procise, you could kind of use him in an up-tempo attack. I really was, impressed by the rookie running back, Chris Carson. think that's his name. But he played really well. And so I felt like there were little glimmers of hope for the run game. I think Eddie Lacy maybe got the jitters being back in his old stomping grounds at Lambeau Field. And then on the other side of the ball, our defense, they played well. We were able to sack Aaron Rodgers 4 times, so that was good. But still, we gave up a touchdown. I felt like Aaron Rodgers was able to get into the red zone a lot more often and a lot closer to scoring than we were. So our defense didn't do as good as they could. However, there was kind of a controversial play in the very first quarter. Yeah. Jeremy Lane and why am I blanking on his name? Devontae Adams. They got into like a little scuffle on the field, which when they played it back, even all the analysts like Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, all of them were saying that it looked like Adams instigated the aggressor, was the aggressor in the play. And the referees claimed that Jeremy Lane threw a punch. But even in the replay, you didn't see a punch thrown. So he got ejected, which really kind of just took the wind out of the sails, I feel like, for the defense for a little bit there. So then they were forced to put in our rookie, Shaq. Why I'm like, sorry, I'm blanking on everybody's names today. Shaq Griffin, that's right. He did really well. So even though, you know, it was kind of a blow to the defense, I felt like Shaq as a rookie stepped in and did very well for his obviously first NFL start in a real game against the Packers. Nonetheless, it was a big game for him. I think really just the major things that the Seahawks need to work on going into Sunday is going to be switching up the run game. We've got to do something different. It's a little too predictable. And the offensive line needs to do a little bit better job protecting Russell Wilson, because when he is getting sacked all the time, I mean, I have his numbers here somewhere about when he's had multiple sacks. It's hard for any quarterback when you're getting sacked multiple times a game, you know, to do well. So he luckily is a mobile guy, so he was able to, you know, he was, I think, our lead rusher, which obviously is not a good thing. So I think if they kind of work on giving him some more time back to put a play together, that they'll be successful.
Yeah, I mean, stop me if you've heard this before, but there was a controversial call in the Packers and Seahawks game. I won't talk about fail Mary or anything like that, but things happen every time these two teams play each other. It's always a good show, man. That's what happens when you have two NFC powerhouses going against each other. And it's all respect. Honestly, it's all respect. I'm going to try to be nice. I hate the Seahawks, just so you know, with a passion, not the fans, just the team, because they're everything the 49ers wanted to be. You guys took the same style, the defensive prowess, the running attack with a mobile quarterback, and you just got a little bit further with it than we did. So, you know, it's a good hate. It's a healthy hate. All respect. But, yeah, you were right. Jeremy Lane was absolute, like you said, he was thrown out. And, like you said, Shaq came in. And I'm going to take your word for it. He looked good. I mean, and that's something that Aaron Rodgers is really good at doing, is exploiting a weakness in a defense. And so having a rookie come in there, I'm surprised that Griffin was able to hold his own against the likes of Aaron Rodgers and those guys. And one thing about penalties and, what is it called? Unnecessary roughness and things like that. It's always the person who retaliates. Always, always, always. I mean, that is like football 101. Don't retaliate. Get them on the next play. And so, you know, emotions are always high. The Seahawks pride themselves in being a tough, we don't take any BS type of bunch. I mean, I kind of see that coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I even had a little note here from the game. Griffin was covering Jordy Nelson a lot of the times. And I had a little note here, like, excellent coverage, Griffin on Jordy. So, you know, going up against somebody like Jordy Nelson, who is an elite receiver in this league, and he and Aaron Rodgers have an undeniable connection. They're able to find each other. Aaron is able to find Jordy, basically, in pretty much any situation. Doesn't matter if it's double, triple coverage, he's able to find him. So the fact that Griffin was able to, you know, kind of quell that monster that is Jordy, I think is a big testament to him as a rookie and is very promising for the future of our defense.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, you guys know how to find these corners, man. And nothing that anyone's going to try to take away from you guys. That is absolutely one of the strengths of that Seattle defense, that secondary as well as the front line. But that secondary, you guys keep guys back there that know how to cover. And I did want to ask you one more question before we move on to the Niners, was about Chris Carson. I know you said that the running back came in to get time. Was that due to injury, or did you guys really go through Thomas Rawls and Eddie Lacy and ProSize? Or?
Well, Thomas Rawls didn't play. He didn't suit up. He was a game time decision and then didn't end up suiting up. So it was just the three of them, Eddie Lacy, ProSize, and Carson. And Eddie Lacy, I think, had three total yards. He had negative yardage in the majority of his runs. And I, of course, started him in my fantasy football lineup. Because I had the update from Josina Anderson saying, oh, he's going to take the majority of the, you know, he's going to be on the field the majority of the snaps. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to start Eddie Lacy. He's playing against his old team. He's going to do great. No, he got me 0 points. So I was very upset about that. But, yeah, like I said, Chris Carson showed he's another one of those kind of big physical backs. But he showed a lot more athleticism that I feel like Eddie Lacy is, we all know, he's a big barreling guy, kind of like a Marshawn Lynch. And so Carson kind of showed a little more athleticism. Maybe he can work in an up-tempo attack. So it was promising. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Sounds good, man. And so sounds like you guys had a lot of the issues that we had. Our defense actually looked pretty good. Of course, emulating the Seattle-style defense that you guys are operating there. We have your former defensive quality control coach, Robert Saleh, as our defensive coordinator now, and he is over here and he's trying to add his own little tweaks and kinks to what is the Seattle style defense. But you know, our defense actually looked pretty good. Our two starting corners only allowed two receptions the entire game. I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but I mean, it was pretty impressive. There were some plays where thank God Cam is inaccurate and he missed these guys. There were some plays that were out there for the grabbing, but they didn't do it. And another problem that you guys are having that it seems like we're having as well is the offensive line. Brian Hoyer was in trouble all game long. We gave up 4 sacks, and I swear to you, our interior linemen, other than Daniel Kilgore, were just turnstiles. I mean, they were just letting people go by, and they were just keeping account. It didn't matter. We had guys trying to pick up the blitzes and guys trying to add in protection between Carlos Hyde and the fullback, Kyle Juszczyk, and these guys just weren't able to slow anyone down. And credit to Brian Hoyer, he's the type of quarterback. He wanted to stand tall. He wanted to stay in the pocket. He has to get a little bit more mobile. It's going to be a long day going up against that defensive line that you guys have there. But it didn't look good for us. Neither of our teams were able to get into the end zone, and this is going to be something that I'm going to be paying a lot of attention to. We were able to move the ball at time and get some plays, and we were, you know, meticulously marching down the field, and then something would just go wrong. Something would go wrong. We weren't able to convert a lot on third downs. I think we converted 2 of 11 on third down and 1 of 4 on fourth down. So I absolutely believe that the Seattle Seahawks defense is better than the Carolina Panthers defense. So that's just something else that I'm worried about. But at the same time, I expect a little bit of a different game plan because, you know, Kyle Shanahan practices against this style of defense. So it's going to be good. I think that when it all comes down to it, the strengths and weaknesses of both of these teams are very similar. We have capable running backs that we expect more from than what they provided during this previous game. The quarterbacks, I'm going to give you guys the edge in that. I know we're not to that part yet. I'm going to give you guys the edge in that. But the defense, I think we have very similar styles in defense. I think you guys can get after the quarterback. It's a little bit better than our guys can right now, especially along the interior. But it's going to be something to see. The kickers, hopefully we can give their legs a little bit of a break as far as the field goals go, and we can get some extra points in there. So let's talk about what to honestly expect. And this is, I don't even know. I mean, we've kind of touched on it all already. I'm going to do this. Let's try this. Who do you think, which team do you think will protect their quarterback better this game?
Honestly, I think the Seahawks definitely will. I think both teams will. I should say both teams will, but I think that your O-line is just no match for Michael Bennett, Sheldon Richardson, Frank Clark. Like, all of these guys were – Cliff Averill, too. Like, all of these guys were just having a day last week, and that was, you know, kind of shadowed by the bad offensive play. So I think if they can continue playing strong like that, I just don't think that your offensive line could stop all four of those guys.
Yeah, I can't even argue that. I mean, let me tell you how upset I was. When I found out that you guys got Sheldon Richardson, I was like, why? It's not fair. Isn't their defensive line good enough? What do you see the need for that? And da, 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 da. And then you know how I calmed myself down? I woosahed. And I said, they don't have any offensive linemen. And I all of a sudden felt much better. I said, that's fine. They're going to get after our quarterback, but we're going to get after their quarterback as well. Here's the difference. Russell Wilson is used to running around back there, behind the pocket and outside of the pocket. It's just something that he does. And so when you go, you know, this is something that Brian Hoyer is going to have to get used to. He's used to a little bit better protection than what he's getting here. I think that's going to kind of favor you guys in this one. I think the offensive line, you guys are going to have the favor. I'm going to give you guys a little check mark for that one there, okay? Was there anything you wanted to add before I move on from that?
No, I think we've talked enough about the awful performances in week one. We can move on to this week's matchup.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's move on to the defense. Yeah. I think we are in for a treat. I think it's going to be a defensive battle. I know that you don't agree with that, but I think this is going to be a low-scoring affair. I can see that the winning team probably winning by 7 to 10 points. I think right now the line in Vegas is at 13.5 or 14 points. Let's just go ahead and get this out of the way. Why don't you tell the people what you think the final score is going to be and how it's all going to go down?
Yes, so in my most recent Talking Touchdowns game preview, I said that my Seattle Seahawks are going to clobber Tracy's 49ers 35-10. I'm sorry.
So disrespectful.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. So in order for that to happen, you guys have to get into a rhythm and get into it early. Okay? Right. So what do you think is going to be your offensive strength? Is it going to be the legs of Russell Wilson again? Or do you think suddenly Jimmy Graham is going to be able to help you guys out? Because from what I saw, Jimmy Graham was actually staying back to try to protect a little bit, chipping and things like that. So where's the offense all of a sudden going to come from? Is the offensive line going to be good enough where you guys don't need Jimmy Graham to stay back in protection?
Well, Jimmy Graham has been quite underwhelming since the Seahawks actually got him, if I'm being perfectly honest. He honestly kind of reminds me of like a Colby Fleener. Like, they rarely catch the ball, but then randomly they'll have a really good game and maybe they'll have a touchdown. But they're just kind of more of a blocking tight end and not really in the picture scoring-wise. So Jimmy Graham, I think I don't really expect much out of him. Hopefully I'm proven wrong, but Doug Baldwin and Paul Richardson still, even though we lost, they played really well. They had some amazing catches in the first week. So I think that they are kind of, okay, everyone was like kicking the dust off a bit and getting back into the groove. I think being back at home is going to make a huge difference for them. And I think that if we can tweak the run game a little bit, as well as find these guys, you know, get them open, try to get them, you know, make these long passes that, you know, we weren't really able to complete a lot of passes on in the first week. So if we can kind of focus on Russell getting that chemistry back with his receivers, because he's got two great receivers back there. It's just a matter of actually getting that, you know, gelling with them again. I felt like there was a little bit of a disconnect in week one. He kind of couldn't find them a couple of times, even when they didn't have much coverage. So I think just getting that connection back, hopefully this week one, kicking the dust off, okay, we lost, we need to figure it out. They worked on it in practice, being back at home, all of those things combined, I think, will be beneficial for the offense.
Yeah, and I'm not going to hope any of that comes true, but I hear you, and it sounds like a good game plan. I mean, I feel like every year I start Seattle's done. They're done for. They're vulnerable every single year. Like for the last two or three seasons, it's just like you guys take some time to start clicking on offense. And then out of nowhere, which is usually a first 49ers game, boom, here they come with 30, 40 points. And my hopes and dreams are just smashed and crushed. I don't think that's going to be the case this game. Here's how I think it's going to go down. I think that the Seahawks, as far as their offense, I think you guys are going to move the ball well. I think that our youth is going to show. I think that we're going to lose some guys in coverage and things like that. And Russell Wilson is excellent at scrambling around and extending plays to find someone wide open. I think that's going to happen. I'm going to give that to you guys. The reason I think the game is going to be a one-score game is going to be because of your kick returner, though. I think Tyler Lockett, is he healthy? He's healthy, right?
Yes, but yeah, we had – it was Lockett all week or all game last game that was returning. Yeah.
I think that guy is electric, and I'm a little worried about our special teams. So I think that the way the 49ers should counter that is by activating our special teams kick returner and punt returner, Victor Bolden Jr. Now, he did not play for us last week, so I am really grasping at straws here for hope. But I'm hoping that Victor Bolden Jr. is activated. We have to fight fire with fire. If we're going to go into this with the same horrible defensive line, offensive line, we're going to go into this with the same aggressive defense, the same smash mouth secondary, and then we're going to go into this with the same – we have to go into this with the same special teams. And so I'm hoping that every advantage you guys have, we try to do it. The difference is that you guys are at home and the momentum is definitely going to be on your side. But I'm hoping that it doesn't go the way that you want it to go. A close game, and if we can be competitive in this game, if by chance we can be competitive, I think that Pierre Garçon is going to eat you guys up across the middle of the field. I think that Pierre Garçon is going to be physical. He's going to get into the head of the likes of Richard Sherman. I think the emotions are going to start flying because when the whistle blows and the game is on, Garçon is a trash talker. He's a very physical wide receiver, and I think that's going to play into our hands. I could see a personal foul coming from Richard Sherman or, 15 yards here or there, something like that. And that's how I think this game is going to go. I think it's going to be a very low-scoring affair. She already told you guys who she thinks is going to win, and I hate to say this. Oh, I hate to say this, but I actually picked the Seahawks to win this week.
I know. It's tough to admit.
It is, but I'm trying to be realistic, and what I'm hoping to see is a competitive game from both teams, especially us. I do think both teams get in the end zone. I think that streak breaks. I could honestly envision a situation where both teams actually score on defense. I could see a sack fumble for one team, an interception for another team. You know what I mean? Setting up an easy score if they don't get all the way into the end zone. So I think it'll be a close game, a very evenly matched game. That's what I'm hoping for.
I hope it's a close game too, because those are always more exciting. I mean, even though I don't think it will be, but it always, it's more fun to watch when two teams are actually competing. It's not, blowouts are not that fun. But I have an interesting stat. So Russell Wilson, well, I guess the Seahawks in September since 2010, they're 12-0 at home and 2-10 on the road. So notoriously, they have been pretty bad on the road in September. So that week one, okay, I give it a little pass. And then Russell Wilson in September, that's his lowest passer rating also. Career passer rating in September is 90.4, October 95, November 106, December, January 103. So notoriously for Russell Wilson too, this is the worst time of year for him. So I think hopefully we can like break those trends. But another thing I was going to mention, that I don't know if Brian Hoyer is as much of a master with the hard count like Aaron Rodgers is, but Aaron Rodgers got Michael Bennett to flinch, like, I want to say 3 times on a hard count. So if he can do that, then maybe you guys will gain some extra little freebie yardage there by tricking our defensive line.
That's a good way to convert a couple of, third and twos out of, get those out of the way instead of trying to run up the gut against those guys. Because Sheldon Richardson, man, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to envy the Seahawks. I do not envy the Seahawks. But I will say this, though. The stats that you just said are very interesting. It actually aligns with why I always feel in the beginning of the year, this is the year the Seahawks are going to fall off. it aligns with everything that you said. And like I said, it just seems like they get better and better as the year goes on. The offense starts to click more, and all of a sudden they're putting up a ton of points. So it makes a lot of sense. One of my little, I don't know what you want to call it, superstitions is I hate positive stats. I hate when a kicker is about to kick from 49 yards and they show a stat, oh, this kicker has made 26 of his last attempts from 45 yards or more, and then he misses. It goes wide left or wide right. And now the fact that you just said that the Seahawks haven't lost at home in September since 2010, that gives me hope. That gives me hope. So here we go. 49er fans, you have it. She broke it. She broke the jinx. She cursed us. I think we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up. I want to thank you again for joining me. Again, everyone watching, this is the Nothing But Niners Behind Enemy Lines. We were joined by Christina from the 49ers, from the Fangirl Sports Network. She's an undercover 49er fan. No, I'm lying. She probably hates us as much as we hate them. But thank you so much for joining me. Again, remind everyone of your Twitter handle and your Instagram page, as well as the website.
Yes, so you can find us on fangirlsportsnetwork.com, and then you can follow me on Instagram or Twitter at SeahawksFGSN. And thank you so much, Mike, for having me on. I will be thinking about you while the Seahawks demolish your team on Sunday.
All right, thank you so much. And above all else, stay faithful. We're out of here.